Hear ye, hear ye. It's your old unc, the lovable Clown Trier, bringing to your attention a new dimension in audiophonic footy convention. Tried and true with one part new, these high flyers harden the wires and solder on with sleek frequency once more on 774 and blast from the mast for your edification and enjoyment. Ladies and gentlemen, the Could Have Been Champions. Woof, 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 woof.
Thanks, Duncan. Good morning to you. Welcome to the Could Have Beens on ABC Local Radio. I'm Jeff Richardson. We might be giving you a blast from the mast, but I got a blast from the Arctic walking here this morning. Greg Champion, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning. Yes. Oh, look, not too bad this morning. I like the wind.
Yeah, I don't mind. Ian Cover, how are you?
Yes, I'm well. Thank you. Good morning to you all.
Billy Baxter?
Well, you've got me there. I can't argue with that. It's got me banged to rights, Governor.
And Torch McGee.
Yes, good morning, Richo, and everyone out there. And I think you need a geography lesson there, Richo. The wind is actually coming from the north, and I think the Arctic's in the south.
No.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
I will correct you if you're wrong. The Antarctic is in the south.
That's right. It's got you right there.
You did get me. So it's coming from the Arctic.
For goodness sake, don't get him started on the solstice.
You walk right into that one, Torch.
Two eyes and both wide open.
that's funny.
I'm going to shock you all here.
Mm. Yeah.
Did you pay attention to the footy last night?
Yes, I did. In the last quarter.
In between overs.
Not taking anything away and in between crashes in the Tour de France. You notice that you can set your watch by. You flick over during a break in the cricket and within, I would say, 30 seconds, not more than 60 seconds, you will see a crash. It's all crashes all the time. But, look, not taking anything away from Footscray, they fought back magnificently. Their ball handling was superb. Their willingness to take risks. But in all my many, many years of watching football, Collingwood couldn't buy a free kick, could they?
Well,
au contraire.
Yeah, in the first half.
In the last quarter,
but that was just the evener upper for all they got early.
Well, in the last quarter, everyone knows that they put the whistle away.
Well, it was well and truly away. It was buried at Pompeii.
Well, so 14-17 it was, so the Dogs did get the ledger in their favour
in that last quarter.
Well, it might have been a good thing. Because the bits I saw, just as much as you can go over and time that there'll be a crash in the tour, you could go over to the footy and you could guarantee there was going to be a free to Collingwood. Fair dinkum, all those Collingwood. I was working on this editorial from about halfway through the first quarter last night. For all those, and you've sung that song about more frees. Well, they've been listening. Fair dinkum. All those people from Collingwood have complained for the last millennium that they never get a free kick. Did they get some last night?
Well, they got three less, apparently.
Oh, in finish. But it doesn't matter. Where were they paid?
Yeah. Got me there.
And who they pay them to or don't pay them
but,
to.
And the other
they
thing
were paid
is,
somewhere near the Antarctic.
The other thing, you know, is it's not so much the ones they get, it's the ones they don't pay. Yes.
Now that we've got that off our chest.
Oh, the Dogs. They gave away some silly ones,
but
by the way.
Just their magic with the ball. It was like 18 Darryl Baldocks in that last quarter. The number of times they were able to somehow miraculous one-handed pickups. They literally had it on a string.
That's what we want to hear, Jeff. We want to bunk up the non-Collingwood side. And since when did you notice Freeze not paid to Collingwood?
Well, right. Since the last half hour of last night.
Well,
that's why
don't
I'm
do
so
it again.
Well, I'm going to bunk up Collingwood.
Oh, what?
Well, look, anyone can have the ball on the string in the last quarter when the other side is absolutely out on its feet. Have a look at the way Collingwood handled the ball in the first half when the actual game, when both sides were still fresh and up and about. I tell you, I've seen two games at that ground the last 6 days, and I've seen the premiers.
Well, this is the what?
Well, there was one of them's got to win it.
Hang on. I think Andy might have something to say about that.
This is the disappointing part, Torch, and that is that Collingwood might be the real deal, but we don't want to go there.
As much as it irks me to say it as a Geelong supporter, stand by for Route 66 revisited.
Ooh. Yes?
Yes, really.
Collingwood St Kilda.
The point of it all.
Yeah.
And
what? You're tipping the Cats out already?
Well, Well, they got beat last week. They're gone.
They are gone. They are gone.
Now
their season's over.
Eight of them are gone.
Yeah, a whole lot of them have turned it up. They've decided they're not playing anymore.
They're gone somewhere.
We heard about Barry Hall, but we didn't hear about Gary Ablett Jr.
No. It's been eight retirements at Geelong this week. Never got a mention.
You're right.
Speaking of Barry Hall, Hugh Worth, who's a lifelong Swans supporter, said to me in the airlock just before, I think I've got something in the cabinet that might calm him down.
Well, I heard a might not have been a genuine football person, but I heard a football person yesterday editorialising, saying, oh, look, we wish Barry well, and it's just a shame. Look, I blame society. That society hasn't been able to counsel him and look after him. If only they'd been able to find someone. I think he's actually had people counselling him for the most part of the last 12 months.
He's got his skipper following him around on the ground.
I blame the paparazzi.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
I blame the metric system.
The Sydney paparazzi, is it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, they've hounded him.
Well, when is society going to come out and say, I take responsibility, I'm guilty?
I don't know why they're forming a 17th side on the Gold Coast or an 18th side in West Sydney. Why don't they just have another club in called Society? Hey?
Can we blame society for the fact
we'll call them the society matrons.
Can we blame society for the fact that the Dogs couldn't find a goal in the last quarter?
Yeah.
They missed about six in a row, didn't
they? What, they have 11 shots?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I blame society for building all these glitzy indoor stadiums. If that had been out the Western Oval where it belonged, the Dogs would have won. Oh. Or at Victoria Park. What a clash. But society, they want these new stadiums.
Well, we could call it West Sydney Society if we don't.
I think as Barry Humphries used to say, it's an oxymoron, West Sydney Society.
Yeah, I think you'll find they're the West Sydney Multicultural Society. Don't worry about that.
Because we've forgotten all this. You reckon you've seen the premiers in the last 6 days.
Yeah.
Collingwood, after last night, how many in a row have they won?
Seven.
Okay. That record could be equaled this weekend by... The boys from the scientific laboratory.
Yes, that's right. The ones who are under the radar.
Peloton. The Peloton are back.
The Peloton are coming. they'll equal Collingwood's 7 in a row record should they win this weekend.
Well, danger game. Freeman.
Hey, this is a warning to Collingwood. They might be the breakaway, but the Peloton is...
That's right.
They're coming. Hey, what happened down there? Torch, you've played league football. And I'll throw it open to the rest of the society if they want to join in. But the... Fair dinkum, Collingwood were not playing anywhere like this at all until 7 weeks ago.
Nor Adelaide.
For 3 years they've played around the boundary, stop-start.
Yes.
And then they put Didac into the middle.
Yes, I think that might have had something to do with it.
And they've gone up. And can we use that expression on the ABC or has that been banned?
Up a gear.
Up the gut.
Oh, yeah, now you can use it.
Well, Jared got into trouble for it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he still went with it.
Though. Oh, okay.
Well, they've gone around. They've got Didac in the middle.
Yeah. Well, I think...
And they've gone up the guts. And they've found pace.
And boys have come good.
Oh, have they?
Well, telling point, I thought, last night was when Josh Fraser went off the ground. Yeah. The game started to swing quite radically. And I think, you know, the game where Josh was heavily criticised earlier in the season against Essendon, when Josh is up and about...
Josh.
When Josh is good.
Yeah, he's very good. They're all good.
He wasn't a number one draft pick for nothing.
No, that's right. Is there any bloke in the comp who was a number one draft pick for nothing?
Yes, Anthony Bannick was the last one.
Has Mick just been, toying with us?
For 20 years.
And this year, did he deliberately send them out to go around the sides for 7 weeks and then said, righto, boys, plan B's on now, and they've just taken all before them?
Well, it might have taken him that long to actually change the plan because there are a few slow learners out there.
Well, I tell you what.
They learn it now.
And they're quick, they're strong, they tackle, they're defensive. This is serious Saturday morning footy talk for all those people that don't break for Collingwood. Be very afraid.
Could it be that Mick is half a genius? Is he...
That's dangerous talk. Dangerous talk.
If that was the case, then he'd already have the Richmond job signed up.
Well, I'll tell you what. I blame society for not recognising he is a genius. Society would have already hailed him a genius.
He smiled again last night.
That's why they're going well. They're enjoying their footy.
That's what genius is.
Do you think he's a neglected genius?
Correct.
Has he got the score on the board?
Oh, yeah, and there's even players down there wanting him to continue. What's wrong with them?
Well,
I was shocked during the week when a player was asked about his current coach and whether he thought he was going to continue, and he said yes, as if he's going to say, no, the club should get rid of him.
Well, is Neil Craig half a genius? I won't say genius.
No, he goes by different standards.
Does he? He goes
by scientific standards.
He's scientific.
He's just an innovator.
All right, that clears that up.
He's very, very clever.
But not a genius yet.
Well,
he might be if they beat the Dockers tonight.
Where are they playing that?
At home.
At home. I mean, if they can't win that, they don't deserve to be.
Oh, danger game, Torch.
Oh, danger game, schmanger game. You know anything about it?
I just read that in the advertiser.
Of course it's a danger game in the Yeti.
The fact that Freo is playing the Little League in their team, I think, gives Adelaide some sort of hope.
Of course, Pelvich out gives the edge.
Yeah, you pick up the footy, the fixture, it's got, you know, in brackets, A for Adelaide, or I know the sponsor name, or, you know,
S for
down at Geelong or whatever. Why don't they put D in brackets after some
or
of the
DG.
Game? Yeah, danger game. Why don't you do that? Start of the year. See if they can tip a few.
Perhaps we could have a danger game round.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you listening, Andrew?
Yeah, what a good idea. A danger game round. Hey, who's your biggest danger game? Champy?
Fremantle.
No, you don't say that. The answer is always, there are no easy games. No,
that's right.
That's the stock. Yeah. Standard answer.
That's what the league should do. Forget all this other theme. You have to have 1 week's danger game weekend round, and then next weekend is...
There are no easy games.
No easy games. And the don't take them lightly round.
How about, is there any chance you could have an AS round? An absolute shellac?
Oh, there's every chance of that.
Oh, too. And then we could have the... Look, no team would go into a game intending to lose round.
The we didn't respect our opponents enough round. The last Saturday night, just to backtrack 7 days rather than six, last Saturday night... just to fill in a bit of time till the home and away game of the century.
Yes.
I thought I'd take out some family time, and we went down to the video shop. They're quite an interesting concept. Do you think they'll catch on, Billy?
I think Beta's got a show of longevity.
Well, I tell you what, for Beta, VHS is a danger game.
Did you get out the 1963 grand final?
No, I wanted to, but I got overruled by the other members of the family.
Yeah.
They wanted a rom-com.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What is a rom-com?
Oh, it's some jargon.
Something with Jennifer Aniston
sounds
in it.
Sounds like a science fiction film.
No, it had that other girl in it. The one...
Cameron Diaz.
No.
Oh, Torch, you're up with it.
No.
The Jennifer Garner.
No, the one that's Goldie Hawn's daughter.
Oh, the Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson. Hutto. I thought it was good. Robert Hutto.
Gee, Billy, Torch, you're all across the rom-coms.
There you go.
And a girl who I thought was an author, Anne Hathaway.
Oh, yes.
She does.
She was married to William Shakespeare. Do you know that?
Well, they so I watched that, not having a particular...
Did you tear up at the end?
No. It had a happy ending.
Yeah.
Mind you, they had a good all-in at the wedding.
Did they?
Yeah. The two brides went toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
Was that to knock them down, drag them out of bed?
That's never happened before in a film.
Well, fortunately, it wasn't directed by someone from rugby league, or there would have been a third man in. So there's just the two of them having a bit of a push and shove. Went to rest.
Did the umpire throw the bouquet up or bounce it?
Well, the umpire should have done that and got on with it, but instead the umpire came in to try and stop the wrestle. Right. Yeah. I think both are facing $3,000 fines.
They've obviously watched Tim Bula.
Oh, yes. They've transgressed the Bin Bula melee rule.
Yeah. So I got a bit absorbed by the wrestle they were having and just whether they would be facing an anxious time for the video review on Monday. Mm. And then finally that finished and sort of didn't want to look too excited about going back to the footy, but sure enough, turned the telly back to live to air footy mode. And up in the top left of the corner they have the score, and it said 88-4. I thought... Someone said some of these new TVs play up early.
The digital.
I thought there's a number that's been burnt off the screen here. 88-4.
And how do you reckon that would have helped the quarter-quad?
Was that the quarter-quad game?
Yes.
Oh, wow. They don't have numbers high enough.
You used to say we're out in the first quarter. We were out in the first 2 minutes.
Can you have numbers like 1, 2 and 28?
I think you probably
Last Saturday night, everyone's forgotten all about that.
Oh, wow. Mm. Was that something?
And they've got to butter up again down there in Tassie tomorrow.
And that is a danger game.
It is a danger game because North play all right against
Auckland. The old Shin
Motor Spirit. They've got
look, from rom-coms the state carnival. Recently completed was the women's football state carnival. And the captain of the Vicks, Shannon McFerrin's joining us online this morning. Morning, Shannon.
Good morning, all. How are you?
Good,
very well.
Good to talk to you again.
And congratulations on a very successful carnival.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It was successful. We all did very well.
Well, you've never been beaten.
No, not yet. So there was a little bit of pressure going into the final, as there always is. Everyone wants to beat the Victorians. But look, the girls went really well, and everyone did extremely well come grand final day, and we hung on.
Would you have classified that as a danger game?
Yeah, I think so. I think WA were pretty well prepared to beat us, so maybe it was a danger game. I was listening to the conversation before.
There are no easy ones.
Shannon, are the other states coming on a bit? I mean, not that we want to see you get knocked off, but it's for the good of the comp. It would be great to see the other states come up to Victoria's level.
Yeah, yeah. Look, they definitely are. They're implementing some of the things that we've implemented over the past few years with youth girl competitions and things like that. We had our inaugural BWFL Academy, which started last year, and I know that WA had the same thing as well. So they're all trying new things, and their leagues are growing. Queensland is quite big as well. So hopefully we can keep our distance throughout the years. But I'm sure they will catch up eventually.
Well, here's a measure of it, Shannon. You were named captain of the All-Australian team at the end of the carnival. Congratulations on that. How many non-Vicks made the team?
I'm not sure. Maybe probably more than half,
I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
And did the Victorian team have players in it from South Australia and Western Australia?
No, I think we're all pretty much Victorians.
Well, that's wrong. I mean, Victoria was only allowed to dominate in the men's footy when it was full of blokes that came over from WA and SA.
And Tassie.
Tassie. Don't forget Tassie. So fully homegrown side, that's very good. Did you win the medal for the best player in the carnival?
Yes, I did, yes.
To add to your five other medals?
Yeah, I won the Debbie Lee medal, actually. It's named after Debbie Lee, which is a nice honour for her, I was very lucky to win that as well.
Shannon, do you think there's a stage in your career when you'll let someone else win something? You've won five. What's the medal again?
Helen Lambert.
The Helen Lambert. And the one in the car. That's the first time you've won it in the carnival. Have you won that before?
No, that was the first time I've won that, so that was quite exciting.
Fantastic. You've got. I hope you've got a big sock drawer to put them all in.
Shannon, was Daisy Pierce playing?
Yeah, Daisy played. She had a really good carnival as well. So, she was quite good, actually, throughout the week. So Daisy was up to her normal standard, high standard, that is.
Because she'd had a shoulder problem for some time, hadn't she?
Yeah, she had, but there was no signs of that. So
good.
And, of course, we had very talented medical staff with us, so they were able to look after us very well.
Did you have male or female umpires, Shannon?
Female.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent.
Well, female. So they know from around Australia as well. So I think the umpires flew in from around Australia, which was, I think, maybe a first, so which was really good.
Another first. We had correspondence, Shannon, you'd be interested in this, from Anne Lambert in Canberra. Her aunt, yes. Beck Goddard, is umpiring the senior game between Belconnen and Ainslie at the Ainslie Oval, and that's the first female umpire umpiring a senior game in Australia.
That's fantastic.
So that's a feather in her cap.
What are we classifying as a senior game? Because a few weeks ago we had the girls umpiring that Ballarang League footy match down in Geelong. Remember they're doing the amateurs game?
That's true too.
Yeah, that's senior footy at country level anyway.
Oh, there's going to be a dispute now.
Yeah,
is it Beck or is it Ballarang?
Billy, did you say that message was from Anne Lambert? They finally found her up on Hanging Rock.
Miranda! So now, do you return now to club footy?
Yeah, return to club footy. So we've still got 3-4 weeks to go before our finals. After a long week away, we played a few games. We ended up playing 5 games in that week. Wow. We played on the Sunday before we flew into Perth. So pretty big year when state's on, but obviously it's lots of fun and very exciting. Get to play with people you don't normally get to play with and things like that. So finals time, so serious end of the season.
Who looks good this year for the grand final, Shannon?
Look, Darabin is still undefeated, so no one's knocked them off yet. St Albans, obviously, who I play for.
Yep.
Mm. Aren't doing too bad. So we're still
muggers?
Hanging in there.
What are the Muggers up to?
Yeah, the Muggers aren't doing too bad. We played them a couple of weeks ago and we hung on by 3 points. Mm. East Burwood pipped them last week and finished off strongly in the last quarter to beat Melbourne Uni. So I think that was a first for a few years. But, look, Diamond Creek are a good side who have come up. I'm off playing Berwick tomorrow. So
how are Berwick? Are they on the bottom?
Very good. No.
Who's on the bottom, Shannon?
To be honest, I haven't looked at the ladder because I'm not one to look at the ladder, but it may be, and I apologise if it's not, but it might be St Kilda.
Well, they should blame society.
Good on you, Shannon. Can we catch up with you during the finals?
Definitely. Sounds good.
Okay, we'll talk to you then, and congratulations on a fabulous carnival.
Thanks very much.
Shannon McFerrin there, captain of the Victorian team.
Who gives a rat's if the stats come in a little under? Just the one, and the sun's enough. Rip snorters only need 4 quarters. Check the book as we look at the one or two game wonders.
Thanks very much, Unkin. Joining us online this morning, our two-game wonder for this week. Played 2 games for the Collingwood Football Club in 1982, but that's not the only thing that's remarkable about Gordon Towan. Gordon, welcome to the Cooter Beans.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Very good, and your story is one that really captured our imaginations. You wrote a letter to Collingwood asking if you could have a game. Not when you were 7 years of age, but when you were 27 years of age. But the even more remarkable thing is they wrote back and said yes.
Yeah, they did.
Tell us the story, Gordon.
I did it. They actually said, come down and have a run. I did a full pre-season with the... with the guys from October right through till March, and then managed to play most of the games, you know, the pre-season games, and come to the last game, played it in the twos. I think the senior side were playing Norwood, and at the end of the game, myself and a couple other guys got called into the office and told thanks. So that was quite interesting. Anyway, I asked a question of, I can't remember who it was I was talking to, and I just said, any reason? I'd like to know the reason why I've been cut. And he said, you're too old. And I said, fair enough. At least I had a go. So that sort of satisfied my need at that particular stage.
At that point, but that wasn't the end of the story.
No, it wasn't. And then...
You've gone back to Preston then to play, have you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I played the previous 3 years or 4 seasons with Preston, and then... in the 82 season, we were having a pretty good year, and then I got a call down halfway through the in May, which is a funny story in itself because I nearly didn't go down there because as the process was going, I got a phone call from John Burt at work, and I was thinking to myself, this has got to be a mate of mine. Made up in the bush called Pat Murphy. And we used to play tricks on each other, you know, before season started or even during the seasons, where we used to sort of ring up and sort of say, oh, you know, I'm from some club, do you want to come and play with us? And I thought he's gone another step this time because he's got someone else to ring up. So when John rang and he said he was from Collingwood, I thought, oh, yeah. And he said, would you like to come down and have a run? And I said, yeah, look, mate, I'll give you a ring back. And I hung up. And it wasn't until about 20 minutes later my wife rang up and said to me, who was the bloke from Collingwood that rang? And I sort of thought, oh, my mate wouldn't go that far. So I rang up the Preston secretary and he said, yeah, Collingwood's interested. Well, in about 3 seconds, I reckon I was back on the phone to Birdie. And I said, when do you want me down there, mate? So I explained to him the situation as well, but yeah, funny story.
And why did they want you back, Gordon?
I got no idea. I think we were Preston were playing pretty well.
Mm.
We had a pretty good side, those 81, 82, 83 teams, and 84.
Yep.
Pretty strong sides. And Preston were on top of the ladder. Ray Shaw was captain coach of the Preston side. And, yeah, we were playing pretty good football, and I suppose I was having a pretty good year, 82. And I think that was helpful the year before doing the pre-season with the Woods.
But by this stage, you're 28, but Collingwood had played in the grand final the year before, and round 9, you find yourself in the side. You did all right with your 2 games, one on the MCG, one at Vic Park.
Yes. which was fantastic and was a great opportunity. I don't know if I hold the record for actually being down there. I was down there 6 weeks. I talk about getting in and out.
Who was the coach, Gordon?
Sorry?
Who was the coach of the Pies at the time?
Tommy Hafey was the coach when I went down there. I was down there when he got the sack.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all your fault.
That's right. You didn't contribute.
I thought about being my fault.
You're the hatchet man.
Now, that was the year that they brought Mickey Irwin in to take over.
Yeah. And it was, look, it was really, there were some funny stories after that. I mean, it was quite interesting going down there because I went down there, Hafey was on the highest pedestal from my point of view that you could see. You know, I've come from Preston and getting the opportunity to actually play, you know, VFL football or the top level football was fantastic. And seeing Hafey, he was like a god and you think, geez, this is fantastic. But I don't think he had the same level of amongst a lot of the other players when I went down there at that stage. And I think that was the result of, you know, how the team was playing and, you know, they weren't playing that well. But, oh, look, the opportunity there was fantastic.
And did you go straight into the side after you got the phone call, went in that week?
No, I went down there and I think Collingwood were playing the Swans. And it was the first year the Swans had moved.
That's right.
To Sydney. And, I mean, I think there was talk of it that I was going to go straight in, but I didn't. I went and played in the twos at down at Lake Oval. So I played one game down there and then from there was promoted to play against Hawthorn the following week.
What position? Halfback
flank? No, I was in the back pocket.
No, no.
I went to the back pocket. I think Peter McCormick was fullback at that stage, so I don't think I was going to take his spot.
And did you have to stand Lee Matthews?
Sorry? No. Actually, it was quite interesting, some of the players that were at Hawthorn that day. I think at one stage there I was on Gary Ablett.
One of his six games.
Yeah, at Hawthorn. I think he came off the bench. I'm not sure, but he was good to play on. But the other one that sort of stuck in my mind was I was on Gary Bacanara. And the game was so much faster from the level that I was used to. And, you know, there was one time there, I think, at one stage in the third quarter. I mean, we were reasonably close and then just... but Gary Bacanara pushed up to, say, between centre forward and the centre line. And I think I got caught up in the game and I started watching the game. It was down in our forward line. I'm thinking, how good's this? And then all of a sudden they got control of the ball in their back pocket. And, you know, you get that sense that your player's not around. And here's Bacanara. He must have been about 40 metres away from me on the half forward line. So I took off, but by the time I got there, he's taken a mark. He's given me one between the legs, you know, as his hand goes down. I'm rolling around on the ground. He goes back and kicks a goal, and I thought, well, welcome to AFL.
And then, Gordon, your next and what turned out to be last game for Collingwood was at Vic Park against the Demons. Who was your opponent that day?
Yeah, well, it was... don't you have some memories about the stories? I ran on the field, and, like, I knew I was going to the back pocket. Some of the other guys had been given certain players to play on. So I've gone down to the back line just looking for someone to mark up on, and there's no one there. All the players were taken. So I'm looking around the field, and I saw a player standing on the square. And I thought, I better go and pick this bloke up. And as I've run up to him, he's number two.
Robbie Flower.
And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. I reckon in about 5 seconds, Peter Hafey, who was a runner, has come out and made a quick shift. But, that was funny. But I finished up playing on, I think it was McGlashan for Melbourne. And then in the last half, I played on Jared Healy.
You've done all right for two games, Gordon.
And what happened next week, Gordon?
Well, it was funny because... the big story broke on Monday night when I think Hafey got the sack on the Monday night. So we went down to training and Mick Irwin said, beforehand you used to go out onto the field, you know, it was just really back in the 80s. It was like when you got there, training started at, say, 5, but you just turned up in those days and you got changed and you went out and you had kick to kick and stuff like that as it was. That's how we sort of...
You had to run your two laps first.
Of course, you had to do your two laps and then go out and have a kick. But this particular Tuesday night, Mick said, no one's to go out. He said, right, we're all staying in because there was a fairly hostile crowd outside at Vic Park, you know, after they put the big man off, you know, Tommy Hafey. And I reckon there was about, there must have been about, it felt like 4,000 or 5,000 people there, and they were pretty angry. And anyway, we all got changed, and we're running out. And I don't know if you've been into the Vic Park change rooms, but there's a bit of a tunnel.
Yeah.
That you go down, and then you come up, and it runs up onto the track. And as we're all going down as a team, and we're there, and as it worked out, Peter Moore was in front. He was captain of the side at that particular stage. And Peter's in front, and he's going down the race, and he's working his way up. But Ray Byrne was in between Peter and the rest of the team. And as Morey's run up onto the track, Bernie's turned around and stopped the rest of us, put his hands up and just pulled us all up. And Peter Moore has run out onto the track and started running laps
on his
by
own.
Himself, thinking that the whole team's behind him. Oh, Christ, you should have heard all the noise. The Jews and the bloody Judas. And all that sort of stuff. And then Morey must have got, he must have gone about 30 or 40 metres and had this sense that, I get a feeling that there's no one there, not hearing him breathing. And he's turned around. Well, he's given us all a bit of a bake, and then we came out and we all copped it, but it was quite interesting. And then I think after that, I just had a sense they made, there was 5 injuries in the back line, and I thought, oh, well, if I get dropped, I'll, you know, that'll be pretty well much it for me.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it did happen, and for whatever reason, there were 6 changes in that back line. And I thought to myself, well, I'll stay there for another couple of weeks just to see what was going on. And then I had a talk with Preston, and I thought, oh, well, you know, I'm 28. I've had my chance, which was absolutely sensational to have that chance, and made a call. I could have stayed there the whole year, but I thought, geez, at 28, Collingwood's going to start to rebuild. And I thought, well, you might as well give some young kid an opportunity to come up rather than keeping some crusty old bugger down there.
And sadly, 4,000 or 5,000 people didn't turn up to protest your exit.
No.
Gordon, fantastic memories. And thank you so much for sharing them with us.
How did the Bull Ants end up that year? Did you win the premiership?
No, we got into the grand final, which was great, but Port beat us by 7 points, but the following year we did, so that was fantastic. Oh, so I've achieved the goals I wanted to achieve.
Yeah, tremendous, Gordon. Thank you so much for that.
Not a problem. A great pleasure, and thanks for having me on, guys.
Cheers, all the Gordon. Very best. Gordon Towan, 2 games for Collingwood at age 28 in 1982. We're going bush now. We're going to the Pecola League, and joining us online is Craig Fraunfelder from the Rennie Football Club. They're the Grasshoppers. How are you? Craig, hello, come in.
Yes, how are you?
They call you the Hornet, Craig.
They do, yes.
And you're the Grasshoppers, but you're not the only Grasshoppers in the league. How do you manage with that when Rennie comes up against, I think, is it Tungamarra also the Grasshoppers?
Tungamarra are actually the Bears.
Oh, it's Yarrawea that's the Grasshoppers.
Yeah, no, there's 2 divisions in the Pecola League. You've got the Southwest and Northeast, so they're in the opposite league. So that makes it a bit easier.
And who are you playing this week?
We've got Katamatide at home this week.
Right. And how have you been going? You haven't won a game.
No, we haven't. We're not travelling too good at the moment, but all the boys are starting to get together a bit better than the start of the year, and hopefully we can come away with a win today.
Now, is there a team in the comp there that wears a Dockers jumper?
A Dockers jumper? No, I don't think so.
Must be in the other division, Girildery.
Yeah, we've only got a Port Adelaide jumper, which is Dookie, I think. So.
Yeah, Dookie switched to the Port colours about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Hey, it sounds like there's a bit of activity there this morning, Hornet.
Yeah, we're just we're watching the thirds at the moment in the last quarter, and we're 2 goals down. This is for 3rd and 4th on the ladder at the moment.
Right, anything could happen.
Yeah, very tight game it is.
So even though you haven't won a game this year, you're still a pretty active club?
Yes, we are. At the moment, we've had a, you could say a slow start of the year, but all the boys are sort of just starting to get together and, you know, it's known as a family club, and they're just starting to enjoy their football now. And, you know, a loss, you know, you have a loss, but the boys are still sort of pumped after the game. So, yeah, everyone's, you know, committed as a team, and, yeah, it's going along pretty well.
And you talk about enjoying your footy. Are you enjoying your football?
At the moment, I am, yeah. I've had 4 years off. I had a shoulder reco there a few years ago, and I've only played a couple of games because a couple of injuries popped up here and there, so... But my role being a a senior leader, I'm starting to enjoy it with the other players. So they're all getting behind me, and yeah, it's really good out here.
It must have been some sort of shoulder reconstruction if you're out for 4 years.
Oh, well, I sort of committed to work a bit more for the last 4 years, and yeah, I couldn't really afford to have another shoulder reconstruction. So
yeah, there's no doubt about it being the family club. All the action we can hear in the background there, Hornet.
Yes, well, I've got the kids standing in front of me. They can all hear me on the radio up at the car, so they're quite happy, I think.
Well, if there's anyone in the car listening, they might want to toot the horn at this stage just to let us know they are listening.
Yeah, we could do the old toot the horn test. Toot the hornet in this case.
They're all giving me thumbs up and the loser signal and everything at the moment, so...
Now, this is working on the high wire without a net, but how do you get the nickname Hornet?
I've had it since primary school.
Yeah?
That long, yes. It's just because of Frauenfelder.
A bit hard to pronounce.
Yeah, and it just got caught into Hornet for some reason.
Hornet,
well,
Hornet you be.
Frauenfelder sounds like a Hand or sausage.
Yeah, you're not down there at the Crows. It sounds like you've got a great thing going there at the Rennie Footy Club, Craig. Thanks very much for talking to us this morning.
No, thank you for having me, and it's a pleasure. Thank you.
All the best for the rest of the season. And the Hornets coming back strongly in the thirds. Craig Frauenfelder there with the Rennie Football Club in the Pocola and District Footy League. That's one of those cross-border leagues. Some
yes,
of the teams
is.
Are in New South Wales, some of them are in Victoria.
A bit of travel involved.
Let's wonder if anyone in New South Wales is listening is going to ring in for Covey's quiz. 1-300-222-774 is the number. 1-300-222-774. Ring now if you want to be part of Covey's quiz. Yeah, Pocola's got the two divisions. They've got some very good two sets of grasshoppers in there, and they've got some good old-fashioned jumpers, like just blue with a white sash.
Yep.
That's good, isn't it?
What just, club's that?
The blue with the white sash. That's Pocola United.
Oh. No.
Good look.
Yeah.
Does the coach of the grasshoppers at training say, patience, grasshopper?
I was just wondering, you said we saw that Gordon Town had written a letter to Collingwood. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Ned Kelly wrote a letter to Geraldry.
I don't think they gave him a go. 1-300-222-774 is the number here on the Could Have Been Champions on ABC local radio for Covey's quiz. 1-300-222-774. Your first contestant, Covey,
is Simon in Glen Iris. Hello, Simon.
Hey, how you doing, Covey?
Were you on last week?
I was on last week, yeah.
What happened in the end? Did you end up winning? No.
No, I fell a couple short, I think.
You did. Listen, I've just been interested this week watching the tour. You know, everyone just talks about Lance.
Yep.
You know, they just say Lance and, you know, you watch the cricket and say, how did Ricky go last night? You know, when, you know you've really made it in sport or anything if you're just known by your first name.
Mm-hmm.
Going to run a few first names past you and see if you can tell us who they are. Simon.
Okay.
Righto. Ron.
Ron.
Hmm.
Ron Wormouth.
Oh, good try, but I think he's more Ronnie.
That's
Ronnie.
Very good try, but I don't think we can allow that.
No, bad luck, Simon.
Bad luck, Simon. Next week we'll ask you, Simon from Glen Iris. Next contestant.
Marcus in Shepparton. Good morning, Marcus.
G'day, fellas.
Yeah, Marcus. Now, just see if we're talking footy, you say, I ran into Ron, or Ron said this. Who's the Ron?
Heck yeah, Ron Barathe.
Of course it would, yeah. Exactly. Well, Ron Wearmouth was good. I would have actually almost accepted Ron DeUlio, but that didn't happen.
What about Ron McEwen?
Yeah, Ron McEwen. Yeah. Ronnie Andrews. He was a Ronnie, wasn't he? Yeah.
Ron Joseph.
Ron Joseph.
Ronnie Clegg.
That's Ronnie. So you said Ronnie. Marcus?
Yes, mate.
Andrew.
Ronnie Corbett.
Andrew Demetriou.
Yeah, there's one Andrew.
Only one Andrew in Australia.
I would have taken Peacock. That's from Another Walk a Lot. Right, eh?
Oh, no, big Essendon fan.
Good one. My daughter wrote these again. She's trying to redeem herself after last week. This was her one. Eddie?
That Collingwood president, Eddie Maguire.
Yeah, Collingwood president.
Oh, I would have gone Betts.
Betts.
I would have gone Charlton.
Or Irvine? Merckx? Yeah. Right,
You're still alive, Marcus.
You're still alive, Marcus.
Thank you.
Billy?
Hope you're a hero.
Billy Brammer.
Yeah.
Oh, Goggin.
Yeah,
Goggin.
Yeah. Pickin.
Some would have gone Baxter.
Yeah, well, I had Baxter.
Not many.
Barrett.
Yes.
Swan.
Swan.
Yeah. Two. Preston.
Yeah. Stephen.
Sturgis.
Billy Stephen. Yeah, no, Bill. He's Bill, just Bill, isn't Bill. He? Bill. Yeah. Sorry, Marcus. Is good. Right. You enjoying this, Marcus?
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, righto. Now, this one, we should be going for the other one rather than the one we're thinking of, but here you go. Royce.
Well, the greatest centre forward, Royce Hart.
Yeah. Well, I was looking for Vardy.
Yeah.
He's the only one ever in footy, isn't he? There's a bloke who writes in The Age, too. Isn't there any other Royce I've seen? Yeah.
Royce Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Royce. There you go.
The original Royce.
Yeah. Okay. Who do you bank for, Marcus?
Well, I follow the greatest centre-half forward thing.
Yeah, I thought so. By the way, you said the greatest centre-half forward.
I'm still handy hat on it, too.
Hey, do you reckon they should get Sheeds as the coach?
No.
Oh, you sound like you might be Sheeds as vintage, too.
Oh, I grew up in the golden era, but it's been hurting for the last 29 years, I can tell you.
Who should they get as coach now?
I'd like to see Hardwick or Buckley.
Righto. The people have spoken. Society has spoken.
That's right.
Hardwick or Buckley? Right, is that
do, mate.
Is that Mariana Hardwick?
Yeah, is that the next question?
No. Here you go. I'll give you another one. James.
James, is it?
Yeah, James.
James Hurd.
Yes, there's only one James. Yes. Although Anderson was bowling for England last night, I noticed.
Got a couple of wickets.
Then he became Jimmy, a bit like James Bartel became Jimmy.
That's right.
Bartel. Couple to go.
Oh.
Malcolm.
It's not Malcolm Fraser. I'll say Malcolm Blight.
Malcolm Blight, of course. If he might actually might well think about these. People say, "Oh, Malcolm, you know, it's just Malcolm, isn't it?
Yeah.
Only one Malcolm."
And Brown doesn't count because it's just Mal.
Yeah, Mal.
That's right. Yes.
I think that's pronounced Malcolm.
Well, Malcolm.
I think in WA they still say Malcolm. Yeah, Mal.
I had McKerris down here as well. Greenslade, the other one, Malcolm Greenslades. He played for the greatest team, didn't he, Malcolm Greenslades, Marcus?
I couldn't tell you that one.
He played two games. Here you go. Here's the last one. Mick.
Well, there's a few Micks around, I tell you. Let's go Mickey Mulder. Yes.
Correct. Yes. There's Mick.
Marcus, you've won it.
Oh, thank you
there's
very
Mick,
much.
Mick Nolan. Mick Turner.
Yeah. And, Mickey Noonan.
No, so Mickey Bain. Mickey doesn't count.
No,
it's
Mick.
Just Mick.
Yeah. Mick.
Yeah.
I know when there's a certain fella that does some work around here, he goes, well, talking to Mick during the week. Mick. It's only Mick, isn't it?
That's
Mick.
Right.
It's Mick Malthouse.
No, Mickey is not allowed.
So
Marcus, you are a winner. Stay online, and Andy will fix you up with your ABC show bag.
You've battled all week at the coalface, and now it's time to get some kicks. So knock the top off of Marchants and settle back and have a cack at the Could Have Been Champions, the Fab Five. Come alive, every saddy laddie, so hop in for your chop and cop, a heap and helping of footy folly and frivolity. Jeffy, the team, please, from the cack line.
Thanks, Uncan. Welcome back to the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. Good to have you with us wherever you're listening. I'm Jeff Richardson. It's good afternoon to Torch McGee.
Oh, good afternoon, Rich Owen. Good afternoon to everyone out there.
To Billy Baxter.
Oh, good afternoon, Richard.
In Cover.
Yes, good afternoon. I didn't realise we were working in English vaudeville.
We're doing a panto.
You had into practice with that earlier this week. And Greg Champion.
Hello, around Australia.
And
be somber about it.
He's the straight man.
Well, he's worried about the danger game.
I am. I'm thinking of my fellow country persons in South Australia and the big danger game against the Frio Dockers
tell you
tonight.
What, we were talking in jest about an hour ago about the AFL having the danger game round as a themed round. And I had another good hard look at this current round that we're looking
Five
at.
Five of them.
It might be the danger game round. Yeah. Let's get some expert opinion. Yeah. Let's cross to the grandstand commentary box at the Sydney Cricket Ground and Jared Waitley. Jared, good afternoon.
Richo, Cutters, how are you?
Good day, Jared. What do you think about the theory of this round being, well, if it's not a danger game round, it's a tipster's nightmare?
Mm. Yes, well, we are in the sort of competition where we get those every second or third week at the moment. No, I don't mind your theory at all. I particularly like it in regard to Carlton Richmond and Brisbane Geelong, Adelaide Frio.
Sydney Essendon.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably more flip of the coin. And West Coast St Kilda's got an element of danger about it. So
Melbourne and Port.
Oh, I like the way you think.
Well, the league ought to get onto it. And when the fixture comes out at the start of the year, they have danger game round.
Yeah. Well, it will clearly be the Could Have Been's danger game round.
Well, we've talked about don't take them lightly round and no easy games round. This is up for grabs round.
And Jared, you're there high above the SCG as we speak with the Sydney Essendon game getting underway. Isn't it great to have the Swans back at the proper footy ground instead of out at the Olympics?
Yeah, and I like the idea of these Saturday afternoon fixtures. Mm. It's my second time here this year for it. The first was a success against Carlton. Yeah, I think this will be very well patronised, not only because it is Essendon and a match that means a lot, but obviously the Barry Hall developments during the week, and he's going to walk a lap of honour at half-time. Aww. And I think there'll be a tremendous response for him. I know it's ended poorly, but I think there'll be a real outpouring for Barry today.
That's a good thing to hear, that there will be an outpouring, Jared, because during the week I heard a high-profile person analysing Barry's exit from the game and blamed society for it.
So
it's important that society comes down today and embraces Barry.
And apologise.
Yes. I always find that interesting when the person themselves doesn't want to blame anybody else.
Well, you actually.
But there are those apologists for them who will.
Were you surprised that he pulled the pin this early, Jared?
No. I must admit, there's no hindsight in any of this. I said after the Hawthorn game that you can't be part of a team behaving like that. And in the immediate aftermath of punching Rutten, we did say that his time in footy was at an end, and so it is. It's an unsatisfactory way for it to end, and unfortunate, but I think by Barry's own words that he has done more good than bad for the Sydney Swans. I think that's very true. And he's going to come into the box at the SCG in the pre-match and sit with Stan Elves, and Stan is the man who brought him to footy. And I'm thoroughly looking forward hearing the two of them chat about all that's transpired.
Well, then I blame Stan Owls then.
Yeah, I think we all do.
That's tremendous, Jared. I'm so looking forward to listening to that.
I know Mark McClure blames David Parkin for all things Favola. I think it's only fair that we blame Stan for all things Hall.
Now, looking forward to this game, and it's good to see Michael Hurley back in that Essendon team because he showed a lot of
promise. They reckon he can play.
He can.
Haven't we waited?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he starred in round one against Port Adelaide and has been injured ever since. There is a school of thought, and it's actually, I think it's got real merit to it. This is the best thing that could have happened to him, just to slow down his introduction into the big time. But Essendon is convinced, and if you heard Adam Ramanauskas talk as part of our team, they're convinced that they've got the replacement for Dustin Fletcher in the long term in Hurley. And I will say that as a member of my Supercoach team, he has arrived just in the nick of time. There were reinforcements badly required, and I've held on to him for 14 weeks, and I feel vindicated.
I also feel that the move of Sydney to Sydney has been vindicated too, because 27 years down the track, they've now got someone listening in a car who's just tooted their horn. Just the one. We heard a nice loud one there.
It's a wild experiment, but playing Sydney games in Sydney, it just might work.
Jared, just in an endeavour to sound like an expert, after 29 years, in my case, I said that in the space of the last 6 days, I've seen Geelong play St Kilda and then Collingwood play the Bulldogs last night. And I think I've seen the Premier.
Yes. Mr. Brumby there.
I'm not saying who it is, but I think I've seen the Premier.
Yeah, I agree. We've seen the grand finalists, surely.
Among those four.
In fact, he was on TV last night, the Premier. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Last night was thrilling from sort of nowhere. And it grew so rapidly and the scoring was so quick that the match was in the balance for 14 or 15 minutes when it really had no right to be. They were both thoroughly absorbing in their own way. I do think they've both matches have raised more questions than they've answered. And how good a scenario is that?
That's what you want.
Phenomenal, isn't it?
It's
terrific.
Would you the theory that perhaps Collingwood have trouble putting teams away, does that raise itself in your head?
I thought there were more mechanical reasons as to why last night happened.
Mechanical.
Yeah, the Bulldogs changed their structure a bit. They changed the way they were playing Collingwood, particularly in the last quarter. And I thought that was why it happened. And then, as an alibi, Josh Fraser went down. So Collingwood was left without a ruckman, and the Bulldogs had already dominated that area.
They dominated the clearances and the ins for the whole game, hadn't they?
Yeah, but they hadn't used it particularly well. We'll talk about this with Stan and Mark. But when Robert Murphy became the focal point, it changed the way that the Bulldogs were playing the match. So, no, I don't subscribe to Collingwood struggling to put teams away. I thought they did a splendid job for three quarters. When they get to the MCG in finals, they're going to be a seriously hard prospect to beat for Geelong, St Kilda and the Western Bulldogs.
Well, because they've decided to play up the I've heard you use this expression, so I think it must be okay, because you're the preeminent. No, you're the eminent broadcaster. When they started going up the guts, they've changed completely in the last 7 weeks. Instead of going around the wings, they've gone the other thing.
Alan Dydak and Leon Davis have never been playing better.
Well, they put them in the middle.
Well, the reasons are twofold. One, they've discovered their A-grade midfield, and that's been a little while in coming and has been as much about the players as the tactics. And once they've got their A-grade midfielder, they don't need to play the boundary anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
They catch up through the middle. So one has led to the other. And I will say, this is week one, two, three, four. This is week four of where is Mick Malthouse's contract. And I've been out of the loop, clearly, watching the Ashes. But Mick got re-signed during the week, didn't he?
Yeah.
He would have had to have been.
Yeah, and Sheedy's been appointed at Richmond. He missed that one, too.
I'm just working under the assumption that Mick's been reappointed for the next 2 years. I couldn't be wrong about that, could I?
No.
Well, I'll tell you what. If he doesn't get the job, we'll go down and coach him, because it's pretty easy. You just put Dydak in the middle and just go up the guts. I mean, look at that.
And, Jared, you've just named a final four. Those of us who follow the fifth side.
Yeah.
Are they no show against that final four?
Oh, they're going to be an excellent fifth side.
Mm.
No, look, it is going to be so jam-packed by the end of this round with the three of them on 10 wins. Mm. With the Bulldogs playing Collingwood again, that works for Adelaide, obviously. The Bulldogs play Geelong again. So, I don't discount them, but I do think the top four now are the four, and then the next bracket, who are very handy, Adelaide and the Lions.
Well, what they ought to do now, the top four that are there, just have them play amongst themselves for the entire 4 weeks of September.
At Docklands.
And the other four play over at Footy Park. And they can genuinely be the minor premiers.
Now, before you go, Jared, this might be the only chance you get to get $1.70 Geelong. Did you take it?
No, I didn't. When I heard what was going on with the team selection, Brisbane were $3.25, and I just had that moment, money or loyalty, and loyalty won out.
Mm.
So I didn't invest in the match at all.
Mark, Andy, have you got that on tape? Jared Whateley has just admitted that he has bet with his heart rather than his head. We'll bring that back. Jared, we are so looking forward to Grandstand in just 40 minutes' time. That interview between Stan Elves, yourself, the rest of the team, and Barry Hall will make fascinating listening.
Hopefully it will.
And good calling this afternoon.
And Mark's there with you as well, is he?
He's actually at the MCG. He's going to keep an eye on the Blues and the Tigers.
There's another danger game.
He's not watching Carlton and Richmond at all. He's on Fev watch. and mind you, I'm going to miss him, because when you did go to that previous game in Sydney, the Sydney-Carlton game,
yes.
How early in the year? I think Mark showed some very good early season form that day. He told us in the first quarter that Carlton, because they started slowing the game up, that they were playing into the Swans' hands, and he was dead right. Mm.
And guess what?
I came to Sydney, and all I did was lose my sanity. I think it was the T-shirt we bought him at the airport on the way home.
Well, he's got another chance to lose it again next week, because they're playing down at the Docklands next week before the big Swans Hall of Fame night.
I tell you, Sydney and Carlton.
Yeah.
All this focus on the top six, this could be a year where you see eighth and maybe even seventh make the finals, having lost more games than they've won. Mm. Have a look at the ladder and do the numbers. Jared, thanks a lot. We'll listen to you after 1 o'clock.
Cheers.
Bye, Jared Whateley there at the SCG. You're listening to the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. Coming right up, Torch's Tips.
If you fancy a wager, Torch will engage you with blue chip tips. Get in the hunt for the perfect punt. Torchy's tote gets the vote.
Thanks, Unc. It does. And as Covey pointed out earlier in the show, one of the quarter quads last week blew out so wide there aren't enough numbers on the card
to
fill it in.
No, thank you.
How would you have coped?
Did anyone get it?
To be honest, I didn't even bother looking. Halfway through the first quarter,
this
when
was
I saw
last
the
Saturday
score,
night. Yeah,
the Hawthorn, the Bulldogs Hawthorn game, I just gave up immediately.
Is it ever like the coloured balls with numbers lotto thing, where it doesn't go off in the jackpots to the next week? Because that had jackpot written all over it.
Well, it can happen.
I think it can happen, particularly if there's a draw, or maybe two draws, which I've never seen, but if there were two draws in the it's quite possible it could jackpot to the next week.
It's just a matter of if nobody checks the numbers. I suppose there's a government representative sitting there as the game is played to check.
They both wear suits.
To check the numbers coming out. Yeah. But what's our game
for
this week?
Our game is the one I just mentioned to Jared, because it's the Brisbane Lions taking on the Geelong Cats up there at the Gabba tonight, and a lot of people have sort of started to write the Cats off. Well, I'm not one of them.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not one. Because even though they have got quite a few players out, and they've got some real playmakers like Gary Ablett out, they've brought in a few good players as well, including Ryan Gamble, I think everybody thinks they've got a bit of respect for.
Yeah. And just tell me whether any of these blokes can play, Torch. Bartell.
Yeah, not bad.
Enright.
Can go.
Corey.
Just a little.
Selwood.
Yeah, all right.
Chapman.
Plays a bit.
Yeah. You want me to keep going?
No.
Yeah, keep going. Ling.
No, not there.
Not there.
I'm giving you the ones that are playing.
He's got general soreness.
I would take one, two, or six of those at my club in a hurry.
You want to keep going? Harley.
Yes.
He's the skipper.
Yeah, I know.
Very important player.
Yeah.
Mackey.
Yeah.
Wojcinski.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah,
when you read all those, they should have won last week.
Well, it was only a kick in it.
Yeah.
Still should have won.
Yeah, well.
They gave 5-goal start to the other team.
Yeah, exactly.
They're burnt out. Give them to us.
In fact, it was our Waverley star bone crusher in the finish.
That's right.
And it was again last night.
And it's good to see them playing the kids too. Young Hogan and young Gillies are getting the...
Gillies making his debut.
He's
debuting, sorry.
Yeah. And Jacara has got to go. Tanase is back in the team.
Correct.
So they're...
And that's right. It's not as though these blokes they bring in don't go and train. It's not as if they go and train down at Queenscliff on their own.
Yes.
They actually are schooled in the way of Geelong football.
Odds at the minute. Brisbane, $2.15. Geelong, $1.72.
Yes, which is, as I said to Jared, it's probably the only time in the whole year you'll be able to get $1.70 plus for Geelong. So people might be tempted to take
One of two things will happen. Brisbane will put on a good show, or Geelong will blow them away.
I don't think either of those things are going to happen.
And now Torch's numbers are going to reveal what he does think.
I'm thinking that Brisbane might get away to a bit of a start playing at home, and the Cats here, because they've got a new lineup really with six to eight players missing. So in the first quarter, I'm going 1-2. So I'm expecting the Lions to be in front at quarter time by up to 4 goals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then I'm expecting the Cats won't let them get too far away. 1, 2, and 9.
Right.
Mm.
Then I'm expecting the Cats to start...
spreading the news?
Ascending.
Sorry.
Spreading the news is right. 1, 9, and 10.
Right.
But, it's not going to be... I don't think they'll blow them away. So I'm sticking with 9 and 10 in the last quarter. So I'm expecting Geelong to win by up to 4 goals.
Good man, George.
Okay. And that's for a 50-cent unit. So those numbers again, 1 and 2, 1, 2 and 9, 1, 9 and 10, and 9 and 10 for a 50-cent unit will cost you $18. It's at the Gabba tonight, so you have to be on by 7:10 p.m. To get your bet down.
Yeah, they've got a few missing too.
I know.
But Voss isn't playing.
Yeah.
Ekamenis. Shawnee Hart.
Yeah. What's that red-headed bloke used to play?
Leppich, he's not playing. Lappin, he's not playing.
Is Merritt in or out?
No, Merritt, he's off this week.
Roger's in.
That's Daniel.
They're going to miss...
Alistair Lynch.
Yeah.
Thank you, Torch, for that investment advice. As for the
Clark Keating.
As for the danger game in Adelaide, Adelaide have been quoted at $1.14. You can get $6. So much
still
for danger.
Look, up in the sky, a superstar from days gone by. Let's have a closer squiz at what it is. As Professor Julian Ross gropes the scope and goes a-gazing at the stars.
Some footballers known for other sports. Keith Weegaard and Jared Neesham, water polo. Bob Rose, boxing. Murray Wiedemann, wrestling. Corey McKernan, golfer. Footy rewards, he couldn't refuse. Juniors with Westmeadows. Dennis Pagan found out about this big coordinated kid. The North coach, persuasive. Corey joined the North Under-19s, drafted in 1993. Took over the number 31 from retiring ruckman Michael Gallagher, Big Mac, 197 and 102. First senior game, 1993. Developed quickly, a ruckman who could go forward and take a contested mark. Long kicking, a trademark that should have been registered. Improved through 1994. Won a Rising Star nomination, 22 games for the season. 1995, a highlight year. Began with North winning the Knight Premiership. Third in his club's best and fairest, best on ground when the Ardenonians hammered the Eagles in the 95 first semi at the MCG. 1996, a season of frustration. Polled the same number of Brownlow votes as co-winners Hurd and Voss, yet a suspension made him ineligible. That mattered little. A great game in North's grand final win over Sydney. Following year, annoying injury, shoulder and finger problems hurt his golf game. Paled into insignificance with another premiership in 1999. When Matthew Burton arrived at the Roos, Corey became a tall forward. 2000, round 19, booted 8 goals against Geelong, finished the season with 135 marks, 40 majors. McKernan then battled injuries, which caused him to lose confidence. After 182 games, for 233 snags, traded to Carlton in 2001. 55 games in 3 seasons, won a BNF before finishing in 2004. Corey McKernan, early career, straight down the fairway.
Thanks, Julian. And joining us here this afternoon on the Could Have Been Champions is Corey McKernan himself. Welcome to the program, Corey.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
All right. Now, you haven't been a guest on the Could Have Beens for about, 10 or so years. I remember you having to duck your head once to come through the door at another studio.
I was going to say, it would have been a few years ago. I think I came in, it was in the studios in South Melbourne, I think.
Yeah. And speaking of things a few years ago, we saw your brother have his first game for the Crows last week. Now, when you played your first game for North, how old would he have been?
Well, when I played my first game for the Kangaroos, I might have been 19. So, I say to people, probably the same age, because he's, like you probably highlighted in the intro, probably at the same age, I was pretty keen on playing golf, so it wasn't really, he's gone through all the development squads, and, played at under 18 level, and, at the same age, he's far, far advanced at the same stage of where I was at, so, yeah, it's pretty exciting for him.
Yeah. Let's talk about the golf, Corey. Any regrets you didn't follow the golf career?
No regrets. Look, I love golf. I probably say that to people. Look, I played footy because I suppose I was good at it. But yeah, always loved the golf. And look, I read something even what Tiger Woods said. It's like a bit of a definition of happiness is, a brand new glove and a bucket of balls and no one else on the fairway, like on the practice fairway. And that's something that I've always loved doing. It's been a bit frustrating this year with I've been pretty busy with work that I haven't been able to play many times. But I do. Yeah, I do love playing golf.
Lowest handicap ever?
The lowest official was 3. It's sort of early 90s. Mm. Around the same, and look, they've gone through a change in the handicap system. I think they did it about 10 or so years ago. That, look, when you're off 3, then would be, I reckon, the same nowadays as playing off scratch, because it's actually a lot, as silly as it sounds, it's a lot easier to play off scratch nowadays just because of the way they do the handicap system. So
no, they were onto you when you were off 3. They fixed you up. Hey, and what are you off at the minute?
Look, my official handicap, I think, is 4, but I would not even be going close to playing the 4 because, like I said, I've played golf twice this year, so I think I'd do well to get close to that.
Yeah. Corey, you're 35.
Yep.
And your brother's 18. That's a nice spread in the family.
Mum and Dad had a fair spell in between, didn't they?
No children in between those two?
Well, I've got another brother, Matthew. He's 30, and my sister, she's 21. So there's a... They got on a bit with my other brother and then had a bit of a spell and then got the other two out.
Well planned. Just looking back over your record, Corey, one thing that jumps out at me is that you hardly ever missed a game, but... certainly when you were at North and even while you were at Carlton, you must have had the most phenomenal run with your fitness and injury.
Look, I always, even looking back at it now, I don't have any regrets as far as my footy career, and I suppose look, the way I've prepared myself and how hard I trained, I did play a lot of games. Sometimes I played when I shouldn't have. But I always used to look after myself and train pretty hard. So, I mean, that sort of translated into playing a lot of football.
Corey, the first year down at North, you were given number two. Then the next year, you bobbed up, that was in 1994, you bobbed up in number 31. How did that transpire?
I think the first number I had when I was on the list at the Kangaroos, I think 1990, so I think I might have, in the reserves, I might have had 43.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think, like you said in the intro, I think Michael Gallagher, he had number 31. So I think it wasn't much rocket science went into the number. I think North and, a big bloke had it. Well, another big bloke had it. So it was a pretty much a straight swap.
Right.
Well, we were given a thing that says here you wore number two in your one game in 1993. Anyway.
No.
Oh, they got that wrong.
I'm pretty sure in my first game I actually did wear, I wore sort of 31 all the way through. So right.
When you went to the Blues, you had number two
at Carlton.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Big Nick.
Look, I loved the experience of playing for a big club like Carlton. Mm. I mean, when you walk in, like you said, wearing John Nicholls' number, and even before me there was Greg Williams. And, in that little locker area where I used to walk to, you had the names like Silvani and Kernahan and those sorts of names. There's some pretty famous names in AFL football.
A very unusual arrangement, wasn't it, Carlton going to the Kangas and saying, look, we want to lease McKernan for 2 years and give him back in 2004.
Right, I tell people this, it's a pretty funny story. I suppose, look, like I've always said, I don't sort of have any problems with Dennis Pagan or anything like that. It was just like, no different to you guys at work or something like that. I wasn't getting the best out of myself.
Yep.
And probably went to Carlton and I won the best and fairest and was looking forward to getting into the new year. And then I remember there were some rumours going around that they were saying, oh, look, Dennis Pagan could be coming to Carlton. And I probably, when I heard the news, I probably wasn't overly keen on it. And the funny story was, like, I think I was in New Zealand at the time, so when I took off in New Zealand, I had the rumours, I was getting phone calls from Jason McCartney and they were saying, oh, look, I mean, there's a fairly strong chance. And then obviously by the time you land at Tullamarine Airport, you can't turn your phone on in customs. So then I'm going up to the customs counter. I was with my then girlfriend and I'm going up to the counter and the bloke, he opens up my passport. He looked at me and goes, geez, you're going to be happy with your new coach.
Oh, that's funny. Hey, Corey, one of the great features of your play was that you were a magnificent kick and a thumping long kick as well, and from outside 50. Was that just something that you came naturally to, or was it something you worked on? And also, we have a lot of players these days that won't have a long kick from 50. They'll try and chip it around and all. Got any advice for them?
I don't know. I just saw it as a part of your all-round game. Like that, yeah, if you're playing football, that, I always wanted to be an asset as far as, in my style of play. And, I suppose just being able to kick and have really good skills was, I didn't want to be, when you see some big blokes and some of the guys, you won't name names, but, they just get the ball and handball it straight away. I couldn't think of anything worse. That you want to feel like you're in the game and you're a part of the game and you can do everything else that everyone else can do, so... Mm.
Mm. A big feature also of your game, Corey, was your selflessness. You always put the team before yourself. But I'm wondering whether the decision in 1996 to suspend you, therefore ruling you out of that Brownlow medal, you would have tied with Jimmy Hurd and Michael Voss, rankles or burns, or do you not regard it at all?
The best thing about that whole... experience for me. Look, yeah, I didn't win the Brownlow, but I look back at that week as probably as good a week as I've... I'm proud of how I handled the whole week. That I look back at that, and even you look back at it now and was amazed at what I actually did. That I was 22 years old, hurt my knee in the prelim final, so I was doubtful where I was going to play in the grand final for starters. And then you consider everything that was thrown at me that week, and be able to push through with the Brownlow stuff and put that on the back burner. I mean, I had to play with injury where I'd hurt my posterior cruciate. In an ideal world, I probably wouldn't have played. And then I came out in the grand final and had 31 possessions. So, I mean, it probably freaks me out a bit now when I actually think about it and go, how did I actually handle that? And it's funny that maybe a bit of the golf angle, because Greg Norman's always been my idol, how he handled his defeats and stuff like that, well, that was, for me, a pretty good role model and say, well, look, what do? You either, you take it on the chin and move on, or, do you go kicking and screaming? So,
you tee up and get on with it.
Well, pretty much. And look, the other part of it for me, at the same age, and it's sort of, I look back at it now, it's probably pretty mature. My outlook on it was, look, I wanted to win a flag for as much as for Darren Crocker, Ian Fairley, these guys that have been at North forever and a day. I wanted to win a flag for them as much as I wanted to win it for myself. Yeah. So, and that period at the Kangaroos, we just had a fantastic bunch of people. Like, it's always like that at North Melbourne, but those particular bunch of guys, like, it was just a brilliant time to come and play football. Like, I mean, I suppose nowadays everything's a little bit more politically correct about having beers and stuff like that, but we really did. We played hard and we trained hard. Like, that was the way that we did things. So,
and two flags and a great career, remembered by all footy supporters. All the best, Corey. It sounds like you need to make a bit of time to get on the golf course.
No, I think I do. Well, we head off to the Ashes next Friday. Glenn Archer and I are taking a group over, so we're really looking forward to doing that. So,
you never know, you might fit some golf in. Thanks for talking with us, Corey.
No worries, boys.
Corey McKernan, you're with the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. Time for Footy Talk Back.
Alex Graham Bell was a pal inventing the blower, so a fella could throw a call at the wall and see if it stuck, and you're in luck. Torches taking calls toll free. For whom the bell tolls, Torchy, it's for you.
Full board of calls, Torch. Of course, footy hotting up. Lots to talk about. You all set?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Okay, we'll go to the first caller. Go ahead, please. You're talking to Torch.
Hello. Hello, who's this, please?
Torchy Doodles.
Who's calling?
Wayne, mate, out to one turner.
Ah, Wayne, I think you're a Richmond supporter, is that right?
Back for the Tigers, mate.
Yeah.
Got me in a bleed.
Good.
Bleed red.
And you're going to the big game today down at the MCG, Carlton.
I've got a bit of business on.
Oh, really? What's that?
Oh, just changing the colour of a car, which brings me to my next point.
Yes, which is?
I heard you talking about that Gary Hall, mate. This is up at Sydney. He's going to walk around the ground.
Yeah, Barry Hall, that is, not Gary.
That's right, mate. Yep, Gary Hall's going to walk around the ground.
He is. He's going to do a lap of honour walking around.
Walking around talks.
Yeah, I know. That's right, Bully.
Does he want to drive around talks?
Well, Barry's always done things a bit differently.
Blame society, mate. You know where to meet me,
Talkie. Okay, Murray Road and Chifley Drive, I think it
correct.
Is.
Yeah,
we'll get a car for Playboy Gary Hall. Next caller, go ahead, please. You're talking to Torch on the Could Have Been Champions.
Hello, who's this?
Yes, young McGee.
That is, yes.
Yes, Peter Herp.
Peter, yes. Calling from?
Peter Barr.
All right, and I think we've had you on before too, Peter.
Yes, and I'm back with a cousin. I've just been observing what's happening down at Geelong this week with a few chaps have sustained some wounds.
Yes, well,
last week's battle.
That's right. They have a few players out this week, Peter.
Yes, and I tell you what.
Yes?
I've got just three words for the Geelong selectors now that they've found themselves short of players. Just three words.
And those words are?
Make it four.
Okay.
Four words.
And those four words are?
Bring in young Baxter. He's been going on that program of yours for years about how he's been overlooked. Well, here's a chance to bring him in.
Okay. Well,
see whether he can do it.
Well, it's out there in front of the selectors.
Yeah. Well, they're short of players.
I don't know whether he's done a full pre-season though.
The odds are blowing out. Next call is ready to talk to you though, Torch. Go ahead. You're talking to Torch.
Hello.
Oh, okay, Torch.
Oh, who's this?
It's Danny Torch.
Danny, calling from?
I'm in Droop Street, Footscray, mate.
Oh, you'll be a Western Bulldog supporter, is that right, Danny?
A very worried dog supporter, mate. Yeah.
Oh, they were gallant last night. I thought that they were gone halfway through the third quarter, and look, they just got pipped at the post, Danny.
Start of the rot, mate.
Who have they got next week, Daddy?
Well, mate, I'm not just worried about next week. I'm worried about the rest of the season.
Oh, no.
In the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We've got the Bombers. They're on the way up. That's a loss. Saints are on fire. That's a loss.
Yeah.
Frio, you don't know which team's coming. That's a loss. Do you know, Torch, we're only three games inside the eight.
Yeah.
In 3 weeks' time, we could be in ninth position. We might miss the eight.
I don't think you've got too much to worry about. George. No, no. That, look,
the
Danny.
Beginning of the end, mate.
No, keep your chin up, mate. I don't think you've got too much to worry about.
They could so easily have won last
night. Oh, that's right.
Look, next caller, you're talking to Torch.
Hello.
We got you,
ah, who's calling, please?
I got a talk from Handorf to you.
Handorf, and your name is?
Hans.
Hans from Handorf.
We got a team over here.
Yes, what's that team?
Ausgezeichnet. Very, very terrific, beautiful team.
Yes, what's
that? We got it number five wrapped up.
Oh, yes, you have.
Listen, you guys, we don't got a danger game.
No?
We got a danger field here.
What's all, what
do you call it? Danger field.
Danger field.
Beautiful. Listen, you guys.
Yes.
Where can we get that guy you talked to from the other part of your show, dear?
Which guy would that be,
You're
Hans?
Talking to this guy we need over here.
Which one would that be?
Colin Frauenfelder!
Yeah, well, we can give you his phone number, Hans, and you can give him a call.
He's up and ready in the Pecola League. He'd fit right in with Kurt Tippett.
That's right. Nathan Bock.
That's all the calls we've got time for, because the guru is online and ready to talk to you, Torch. Mark, can we get the line through to the temple? There he is.
Guru Bob.
Hello there.
Hello. Guru Bob.
Guru Bob speaking.
Calling from the temple?
Yes, wherever I like to be.
How's your week been, Guru?
Oh, well, we've been worried about this round of football.
Really?
Every contest is so close.
Yes.
I heard you talk about it.
Yes.
It reminds us of the lessons of history. Remember, when the Romans filled the Colosseum to watch a parade of Christians up against the Lion's Torch.
Yes.
The Romans said... Every contest is up for grabs.
And?
This is one where you must respect your opponent. Do not take those lions too lightly. There are no easy contests out there.
Okay.
They are all danger games.
Yes.
And the opponents
yes.
of the those who didn't approve
yes.
of the Christians being in the Colosseum with the lions
yes.
said, socium culpo.
Which is?
I blame society. Think about that.
That's when, of course, the Christians were versing the line.
That's right, yes.
That's it for the Could Have Been Champions for this week. Stay tuned for Grandstand coming to you from the SCG, where Barry Hall will be joining the Grandstand team and talking to his first AFL coach, Stan Alves. Good afternoon to Torch McGee.
Yes, and go the Bloods.
Billy Baxter.
I implore you, enjoy your football.
Greg Champion.
Yes, come on the Crows.
Ian Cover. Go Cats, go Aussies, go Cadell.
Yeah.